to. And today we're talking about the significance of having a centralizing theme. If you're teaching a lesson, if you're preaching especially perhaps on a Sunday to your congregation, it's really important that we have one centralizing theme. Can lessons have a few different threads? Threads, yes, but not several threads, several themes. Several threads, but not several themes. One theme seems to be very significant to being able to pay attention. Now, this is on my mind because recently, on the same day, I heard two friends of mine preach. And they both did a good job. I must say, they were very good lessons, and I really enjoyed them and got some good spiritual nourishment from them both. However, I noticed a common thread with them, and it chimed with something else I'd heard recently this week. So I thought perhaps it could be relevant for all of us and for me too, in that their lessons were very good and they contained a lot of truth, but too many different truths. There wasn't a centralizing theme that gelled those truths together so that I could see how all those different truths connected and then apply them, or perhaps apply the central theme to myself. So I was left trying to contemplate many truths. There was this truth and that truth and this truth and that truth and another truth. And it's a lot of hard work mentally to pull all that together to try and make something useful from it, even though those things are all true, rather than say these are threads pointing to one central truth that then I can take away more easily. And I know I've done this myself, so I don't want to point the finger at those two chaps, because I've done it many times. I get a passage from the Bible and I look into it and I study it and I think there are 10 things in this paragraph alone which are interesting, which are helpful. And there may be. And those 10 helpful things are okay to talk about if they will connect with one central theme. But if they're 10 different themes, then I'm going to preach those 10 themes and I'm going to leave people pretty confused. If life is long, and for most of us it is, I'm going to have time to come back. And if there are 10 themes in one passage, well, then I can preach 10 sermons on that one passage. It might take a few years, but we'll get there. And then I won't confuse people. The other reason this struck a chord with me, because I was listening to a film review by Mark Kermode, a film critic I listened to, and he was talking about a film and about how the film had lots of good ideas, but lacked that central story, that central idea. And so the film was interesting, but it wasn't captivating. And it could have been captivating because these ideas were interesting, but because there were too many of them, it became confusing. I was thinking about one of my recent trips to the cinema to see Avengers Endgame, and I will not tell you any of the plot, no plot spoilers here. I went with my son, and I've been to quite a few of the Marvel Universe films because my son loves it, and so I go with him. I'm not invested in the comics the same way he is. And so one of the things I have discovered, especially with this lengthy blockbuster film and the one preceding it, Infinity Wars, was that there are so many characters, some of whom I wasn't really sure who they were, what they did, what their gift was, their special power, their role, and how they connected to the other characters, that I got a bit lost somewhere in the 2 to 3 hour running time. And couldn't put it all together. And I spent a lot of energy trying to put it together instead of just relaxing and being able to enjoy the film. Now, my son had no such difficulty. He knows that universe. He knows all the characters. And he was able to piece it together for me afterwards when I asked him to explain some things. And I know the Marvel cinema, the filmmakers don't have to cater for people like me necessarily. But what struck me about this is that if I have to spend all that energy thinking about what's going on and who these people are, I miss a lot in the film. Now, think about this from the perspective of preaching and teaching. Let's take a typical Sunday. You've got a lot of people there who know the Bible fairly well. So you're talking about different characters and different ideas and different themes, and they're piecing it together, perhaps. But what about the person who's visiting the congregation for the first time or hasn't come very often? They don't have the same language. They don't have the backstory to a lot of the things that you're talking about. And that's why it's even more significant for those of little faith or no faith that we have one central thing. They can get their heads around that. You can put some threads in together with that one central theme and they'll still get the central theme. And the members will still get a lot because you're talking about this central theme in a fresh way, or this passage in the Bible in a fresh way. They're listening to you talk about it. You've got some ideas. The central theme becomes very significant when we've got friends at church who don't have the same kind of background to the Bible or the same kind of level of faith or understanding of the faith that perhaps the rest of us do. And we need to cater for those people, perhaps on a Sunday, more so than the members. I'm not saying these two things are mutually exclusive, but we need to think about that. Take the parables of Jesus. I mean, I've got my Bible open here to Matthew 13. And what do we see in his teaching? We see the parable of the sower. Well, that's just one thing. Or the parable of the weeds. That's pretty clear what that's about. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. Okay, two things there, but they're connected. The parable of the net, the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl, and so on. We could talk a long time about all the different parables that Jesus taught that had one central idea. How do you feel about boiling things down or filtering things out or paring things away until you've got just that one idea for your lesson? You may say, well, in the passage I'm preaching on, there's too many themes. Yeah, so pick one. Pick one of those and preach the others next week, next month, next year, next decade, or let somebody else preach them. It doesn't have to be you, and it doesn't have to be that day, does it? So here's some things for us to think about. Now, rather than just give us a problem, let me suggest at least one solution. How do we get to that central theme? Well, there are many different ways, but I can suggest you think about three things. The intersection of three things. So these things coming together. So what do I mean by that? Well, number one, the first thing to consider is pastoral needs. I'm going to give you three P's today. Okay, pastoral needs. So think about the particular group you will be speaking to. What are their pastoral needs? If you're a visiting speaker, ask somebody local. But if that's your congregation, you should know. That's why preaching is half speaking, half pastoral work. Same with teaching and preaching. What are the pastoral needs? That's the first thing to consider in terms of finding a theme. Secondly, your own prayer life. When you pray about the needs, or you pray about the passage you've been asked to preach on, teach on, when you pray about it, what speaks to you? What from that passage speaks to you? When you pray about the theme, let's say there's a theme in the passage of telling the truth. And you pray about telling the truth, and God telling the truth, and Jesus telling the truth, and the Spirit telling the truth, and what it feels like to tell the truth, and examples in the Bible of people who told the truth. How does that come out to you? What theme comes from that personal prayer about the passage? And then thirdly, that's the third point, is the obvious one, which is what does the passage itself say? Given that the passage could have more than one theme, which passage is speaking to you? As you read it and you look at what happened, you look at the consequences, you look at what Jesus taught or somebody else taught, you look at the end result of the narrative, you look at the consequences of the theology of living out whatever's being taught. What stands out to you, perhaps in your own life? What's the passage saying to you? So there's what's the passage saying in prayer, there's what's the passage saying as you study it to you, and there's the pastoral needs. Three P's for you. So think about that and let me know what you think about how we come to that centralized theme. We need it. And I think it can come with the intersection of the pastoral needs, the personal prayer, and then what the passage is saying to you, assuming you're picking one passage. There are lots of other ways to do this, but there you go. There's one. And I'd like to know what you think about that. What do you do to get your focus down onto one thing? Do you even think what I'm talking about is reasonable? That is, most of the time, it's better to have one centralized theme. Do you think I'm right? And if not, why not? And what do you do if you want to get a centralized theme and boil it down to one focus thing? What do you do to do that? And do you have any other thoughts on this topic? I'd love to know. So please leave a comment wherever you hear or see this recording, and leave it in public so that everybody can learn, because we learn best when we learn in a community. If there's somebody who you think might benefit from this recording, please pass the link on, hit the notification button, the subscribe button. That will help to increase the visibility of these recordings. And if you're listening to the podcast, why not leave a review? Even just let me challenge you with 24 words. Why not? A 24-word review would be fantastic. And until next time, I hope that you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.